Hello and welcome to I Want What She Has, your weekly antidote to the patriarchy, amplifying women's voices and their stories. I'm your host, Teresa Whitman, and I want to say happy full moon today to all of you. It is a full wolf moon, and depending upon which astrology you subscribe to, the moon might be in Cancer, or if you're a sidereal follower, what would that be in? Maybe Gemini? I don't even know. I should have looked that up. It doesn't tend to be popular, at least in this country, to consider the sidereal astrology. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, basically it just means that in tropical astrology, which is largely what's most popular in our country, that the astrology points are fixed based upon the seasons, the solstices, the equinoxes. But realistically, in time, the stars have shifted in the sky. And so the sidereal format will consider the way that the stars are actually aligned in the sky. Whereas tropical is going to be based off of a static grid that we've been following since, you know, who knows when. I am not an astrologer. I just play one on the radio. No, I'm kidding. I just dabble in curiosity around astrology. And I'll give my caveat, which I always give. It's probably nauseating at this point. But to me, astrology is not a fixed science in any way. I use it a little bit in my own life personally, just as a way of inquiring within myself. And so it doesn't necessarily mean to me that I think that how the stars are aligned in the sky is going to dictate how my life is going in any moment. But I do like to read about astrology and hear what some of the astrologers are saying as a way of just sort of tuning into what might resonate with me, and to use that as an opportunity to go a little bit deeper into my own life and what's going on for me. So I do usually new moon and full moon experiences online. And so today's show is going to be really one of those experiences. And just so you have a little lay of the land, I'm going to start off by reading one of the astrologers who I tend to resonate with. I like her writing, and I usually glean something from what she has to share. And then we're going to be doing a little physical activity, or at least there's an opportunity for you to do that. Part of the idea behind what's happening right now is that we should, if we are able to, move our bodies a little bit to help release. So we're going to be going down a little trip of memory lane to the 80s for a little 80s dance party. And then I will be offering some prompts for journaling or reflection. So if you would like to journal, you can go ahead at the first little break we take between me talking and us dancing, if you choose to dance. There will be an opportunity for you to get a journal. Of course, if you want to get that now and take some notes, that's perfectly fine too. And if you are listening to this later on the radio archive versus now, or I should say, if you can't fully participate now, that's okay. You can tune in as much as you want to, but you can always just listen to it later when you might have some more time to really soak up what this moon ritual experience is all about. So I am going to start to share a little bit from the website I usually share from, which is Forever Conscious. It is an astrologer named Tanaz. I think that's how you pronounce it. T-A-N-A-A-Z. And she calls herself an intuitive astrologer, which I'm not sure what that means exactly, but I tend to myself tune into the astrology intuitively. Sometimes I'm just thinking about what is actually going on for me right now, like what are some of the themes that are coming up for me. And before I go and read any astrologer's thoughts of their own, and I completely encourage you to do the same thing. You know, the astrology that I'm going to read and share with you right now is just a possibility. But there might be a word. It could be a word that you resonate with, or it could be a word that you reject, which is also going to be revealing about what's going on for you, what you might want to be focusing on if you choose to use this as an opportunity for personal ritual. So Tanaz writes, for this Cancer full moon, she is a tropical astrologer, it's the first full moon of 2022. And it falls in the watery, intuitive sign of Cancer. The moon loves to be in the sign of Cancer. It is where it feels most at home. And each of us can tap into this harmonious energy during this window of time. The full moon peaks on January 17th, but typically we can feel the full moon about 4 days before it arrives. This is my own addition, and often a few days following it. It is during this time that we can tap into the buildup of its energy. Then, as the full moon wanes, we can begin to settle into the energies and whatever has arrived. Full moons are a time of release and letting go, and we are going to have to give this some extra consideration under the Cancer full moon. There may be a heaviness in the air, which means we have to take conscious effort to shake off all that feels suffocating or disempowering. The reason for this is the planet Pluto, which is hovering close to the full moon, exerting its influence on the sensitive lunar energies. Pluto is the planet of power, so our attention may be drawn to the power dynamics in our lives, where we feel the most powerful, or and even where we feel the most powerless. Sometimes Pluto's influence can make us feel stifled or that we are under the thumb in some way. It can exacerbate any pressure we are feeling, particularly in our relationships. And I'll just add in a little note right now. There's a lot of talk about how Venus is in retrograde. And what that means, for those of you who are curious, is that there's potentially strain on relationships. You might be experiencing difficulty coming up in relationships. And if that's the case, it's just an opportunity to really go deep into healing whatever is at the source of that. At least that's my way of looking at it. And back to my sharing of Tanaz's astrology report. If any of these themes come up, think about how you can claim your power back. How can you put yourself in the driver's seat of your life? Constantly waiting or depending on the actions of others can put us in a powerless position. So be mindful of thinking that aligns in this way. Be mindful of basing any of your actions and beliefs on the attitudes and values of others. Be mindful of any thoughts that start with, when this happens, then I will be at peace, happy, or calm. Waiting for this to happen is the trap. So see if you can find ways to tune into the calm regardless of the actions of others or the climate that surrounds you. If you are feeling any oppressive energy under this full moon, know that the universe is supporting you to shake it off using the power of movement. Movement can be very healing, and we may feel this even more so under the full moon. Dancing, running, walking, swimming, or simply standing up and shaking out your entire body from head to toe are all ways to release and free any built-up tension or feelings of restlessness. Another practice you can do is to simply observe the relationships in your life and any dynamics that are contributing to feelings of powerlessness. How can you shift these behavior patterns, even in just a small way? Coming up with a mantra or affirmation and reciting it on repeat whenever you find yourself in that situation can be a good remedy But very often, just becoming aware of the dynamic can be enough to create a shift. You can also use the full moon energies for release work. So write down the dynamics you have observed and then ceremoniously burn them as a symbol of letting go under the bright full moon. While power dynamics are a theme for this full moon, there is another sweeter and softer energy floating through the cosmic skies at this time too. This sweeter energy comes from the planet Neptune, which is in a harmonious position at the time of the full moon. Neptune is the planet of dreams and spiritual growth. It holds the vibration of unconditional love and reminds us of our connection to the entire universe. Whatever you are moving through, know you are not alone. You are a divine spirit. You have a divine spirit team on your side. You're also a divine spirit. And they can work with you to help release and shift any heaviness, sadness, or angst you are feeling. The full moon is a time where the veil is naturally thin anyway, and with the beautiful energies of Neptune, it will be easier for us to connect with higher realms and our higher self. All of this can be incredibly healing and remind us that we are all part of something so much bigger than we can really fathom. Connecting with your spirituality can also be a soothing practice under this full moon. You can use the energies of Neptune to deepen your meditation practice, to pull some oracle cards, or to connect with your intuition. This energy also supports any creative projects you might be working on. In fact, the power energies from Pluto and the soothing creative energies of Neptune can be a wonderful dynamic for supporting creative work and for getting your art in front of your desired audience or powerful people in your industry. Full moons can also be points of completion. So you may just find that any projects you are working on, particularly creative ones, come to a natural end. Overall, this full moon offers some moments of harmony, but also some heaviness too. Our attention may be drawn to the power dynamics in our relationships, and we may find ourselves needing to consciously adjust our behaviors. Focus on empowering yourself and know there is cosmic support raining down from all sides. Creative projects can also flourish during this time too. So that was the Forever Conscious astrology report. And I wanted to point out that there's a new radio show on Radio Kingston. Corey Nakasui is doing the Cosmic Dispatch, and that's on Sunday afternoons. I think it's afternoons. I'll double check, but I linked to it in the show notes so you can find it. And yesterday she was talking a little bit about the astrology that's happening really starting yesterday and through the week. And Pluto, as I just mentioned, is a planet that has some relevance to the astrology right now. And Pluto is a complicated planet, doesn't always have the most favorable, notions connected with it. It is sort of the planet of the underworld, of death and destruction. And for those who might categorize those things as negative, it can feel like a heavy energy. But if you can see all of it as being beautiful and necessary part of existence, then it doesn't have to be, right? There can be things that need to be destroyed and wiped out, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, although sometimes it can be uncomfortable. So there is this relationship to Pluto and sort of the heaviness of it and the release of it. And then this Cancer element, which is oftentimes associated with watery emotional stuff, especially full moon is watery emotion. And so there's this potential for intense emotions happening right now, a revelation, so to speak, of emotional patterns that could be rising for us that we can work on right now. And one of the things that Corey talked about, I really enjoyed it, her show yesterday, although in the second half, they go way, way deep into astrology beyond my mere mortal's understanding of it. But she talks about how Pluto brings things to the surface and resurfaces, buries things and resurfaces them. And so Pluto is aligned with the sun and the moon is reflecting that energy back to us. And so it is this, she described it as getting out a flashlight and going into the basement or seeing a long dormant volcano erupt. Very powerful words that she used. And it's giving us an opportunity to really kind of see what's there. And this is an important part of all of the work that we do in our lives, is that this shadow that we might call it, it's whatever is hidden, right? So if Pluto buries things, it could be memories from the past. It could be emotions that we don't want to deal with. It could be a reality of our life that we don't want to deal with. But just because we don't want to see it or we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there and it's not affecting us. And so even if it is painful to look at those things, it's really important to integrate them. And Corey talked about really beautifully how hiding and suppressing things takes a lot of energy. And so when we're doing that, we're not allowing ourselves to fully express and shine as ourselves. And how practicing softening is a way of seeing those things, right? It's almost a welcoming of them and not a rejection of them so that we can fully integrate them. And so there's all of that kind of happening. Her show yesterday goes into more about the transition between Capricorn and Aquarius happening this week and other things. As I said, that's way beyond my skill level, but it is... It's a great show. And so if you're somebody who likes to learn about astrology or what's happening cosmically, energetically, I would recommend tuning in to Corey's show, The Cosmic Dispatch. Okay, so that is my little summary that I'm sharing to sort of set the stage for our moon experience today. Okay, so full moon vibes, as I just shared, there can be some heaviness that might be coming up for you. And if not, great. It is still an opportunity to move your body. Typically on full moons, we have more energy. And so if you feel like you have pent-up energy, which could come in the form of enthusiasm, excitement, frustration, anger, or those emotions that might be a little bit heavier or more challenging, then moving your body is one of the most profound ways to help shake things up and release. And I want to just point out that when we talk about releasing, I'm trying to change my own perception of it so that it's not a judgment. Like, I don't like this thing, let me get rid of it. But it's more of, well, I should say, what I'm trying to do is to transform that attitude into, thank you for being here, for showing up in my life, for doing whatever it was you needed to do, but I have learned from you, I have benefited from you, and now I am no longer served by you, whatever it might be. And so I thank you and I release you. It's not a rejection and a push away. It's an embrace and a release, and done in gratitude, I think can have a more profound effect for us when we're doing that. But I just thought I would share that. So, as I said, you can participate in this in any way that you feel called. I was probably inspired a little bit by a recent phone call I had with some high school friends as we're planning our 30th high school reunion. And maybe that's why I went down into the 80s world. Maybe it's not all 80s, but it feels 80s to me. So we are going to do a little dancing or a little movement right now. The first song that we're going to start out with is appropriately Ray of Light by Madonna, to honor the ray of the moon that will be shining in our night's sky. And so here we go. Enjoy, release, let it go. Thank you. that is halfway through, a little bit more halfway through our dance party, Let It Go release, Full Moon. We heard Ray of Light by Madonna, Venus by Bananarama, Dreaming by Blondie, and Head Over Heels by the Go-Go's. Just a few more songs, so here's your chance to let it go and release. I tried to pick some with a little bit different vibe. This one is going to, if you've got any angst or anger, this is a good one to let it go. So we're going to listen to Janet Jackson next with Nasty. I hope that you have enjoyed this little full moon release dance party. And just so in case you didn't know those artists, that was Nasty by Janet Jackson, Kiss Them For Me by Susie and the Banshees, and When You Were Mine done by Cyndi Lauper. So that is the energetic portion of today's show. We're going to slow things down shortly and go a little bit deeper into our emotions, starting with our archetype, the tear. I really enjoy working with Kim Kranz's Archetypes Guidebook, and I usually, the way that I work with it, well, when I do my moon things, is I kind of scan the list of archetypes that she has and see which ones resonate with me based upon what I am feeling or knowing about the moon. And so we're going to be doing a couple of journaling prompts. And it could be just reflection. If you're not a journaler or a writer, you could just simply take some time to just reflect and experience the essence of the archetype. The first one that we're going to work with is the tear. And this is what she has to say about the tear: the mourning, the release, the rain. Tears are droplets of letting go. Once they begin to fall, we allow the swelling tide of emotion to run its elemental course. Often, the tear is what is needed in order for a conversation or situation to break into the next level of intimacy and vulnerability. Some say that tears are so powerful in softening our egos that they open up a portal to the unseen world. Through our watery eyes, the ancestors catch a glimpse of us, and we are reminded of their eternal embrace. We sense our humanity, our humility, and we allow ourselves to be held. It is likely this card appears when there is grieving yet to do, a sinking down into disappointment or despair that, once acknowledged, will bring a shimmer of clarity to our dewy eyes. So I wanted to just read all of that to you, and if any of that calls up anything that you would like to write about, then please feel free to just go with your intuition. If nothing specifically is coming up, then what I might offer to you is to think about what emotions you're experiencing right now. And it doesn't have to be sadness necessarily related to the tear. It could be any emotion that you, as I talked about earlier, might want to soften into and begin to embrace, and in order to integrate it so that it is not hidden within the depths, it's brought into you in a way that is supportive of you, and that if it is time to release it, then you will be able to just let it go. There's not much that you have to do when it is time for something to go and you've integrated it. It'll generally just go away. It'll become lighter, so to speak. So to think about the emotions that you're feeling right now. And if you're not connecting with emotions, there could be something else that's coming up for you that is being unearthed by this Pluto energy. So as I said earlier, it could be a memory. It could be something that's going on in your life. And to just allow yourself to be with it. And and engage in a dialogue with it through your journaling to understand what its purpose is and to see what might be preventing you from allowing yourself to fully experience it and integrate it, to just find out what's there and what it might be needing to do in order for you to integrate it and then to have it release in its own way, in its own time. So we're going to play a little music. We're going to listen to a song that is a lighter song. It's a little up, it's kind of uplifting, so that this doesn't have to be a heaviness, right? We can see everything as being beauty in our lives. Everything is having a purpose. Nothing is bad, even though it might be uncomfortable. And so just give yourself this opportunity to reflect, to meditate, or to journal if you're feeling so called. The song that we're going to listen to is Bountiful, Blissful, and Beautiful by Achan Kaur. Working with the tear, and I just thought I would share some words from Kim Crayons, and she talks about how if the tear is too much, right, if it becomes a river, if it becomes, as she might say, a feeling of drowning, too heavy, that you can balance it with the energies of fire and earth. And so I just thought I would add that in there. If this is a time of deep heaviness for you, if there are a lot of emotions coming up, it is okay to just allow yourself to experience them. This is an honoring of the tear. But if it becomes oppressive in any way, that you can balance it with earth and fire. Going outside, walking on the earth, hugging a tree, connecting with your anger, or actual fire, lighting a candle. All different things will work with that. The next archetype that we are going to work with is the heart. And I thought I would just remind you of some words that I shared earlier from our astrology report about the dynamics of this full moon and how there is an element of Neptune that's bringing a sweeter energy, and how Neptune holds the vibration of unconditional love and reminds us of our connection to the entire universe. So whatever you are moving through, know you are not alone. You have a divine spirit team on your side, and they can work with you to help release and shift any heaviness, sadness, or angst that you are feeling. And to me, connecting to the heart is that place of divine hominess. And Kim Crayons talks in her book of archetypes about the home, the heart being the home, the center, and the throne. And I'll just read to you what else she shares here. It is possible from an imaginal point of view to sense the heart as a place. Either we are there within the realm of expansion and compassion, or we have drifted somewhere else. There is no in-between. It is common for us to leave this archetypal center without realizing it, as the world, with its seductive twists and turns, offers us frequent departure. We may even become a stranger to the landscape of the heart, leaving it vacant for long stretches of time. The seat of the heart is often reclaimed by nature, music, dance, and the presence of children or animals. This card encourages us to move past the layers of life's tangles and knots and enter the wild and sacred center of the self. The most precious throne in the galaxy is awaiting your return. And so we're going to listen to some music. I'm not going to give you a journaling prompt. If something comes up that you'd like to write, please feel free to. Otherwise, for this, I truly encourage you to just try to be in the experience of it. this is an opportunity to connect with the higher realms, with your higher self, and with that divine love that is always surrounding you. So we're going to listen to the beautiful words, "I Am" by Narendran Kaur. Working with the heart and knowing that you can always return to it. It is always there. It never goes away. It is your home, your center, and your throne. We're going to work with one last archetype during our full moon ritual here. And that one is an exciting one. That one is the vision. And Kim Kranz writes about the vision as being the dream, the imagined, the revealed. And I will share with you what else she writes about it. It is said that we are each born with a unique vision, a destiny toward which we are aimed. It is also said that we forget this vision the moment we are born. Thus, we are sent on a lifelong journey of rediscovering, such is the elusive nature of the vision. It slips away, yet it guides. It appears in strange dreams and surreal images, seemingly unattainable and preposterous. When we are connected to the vision, we carry an inspired, enchanted aliveness that others recognize. We trust the world and its synchronicities. We walk through new doors into wondrous opportunities. We all want to be near those with vision. They emit energy more potent than any elixir. When we lose connection to the vision, life becomes dull and exhausting, lacking meaning. Bring back the mystery. Bring back the dreams. So in thinking about the vision, right, we learned earlier about Neptune's involvement in the astrology, and it is the planet of dreams. And we spent some time in the heart as a place of where we connect to that divine unconditional love, as well as our highest self. And so what I would like to propose is to connect to your vision, but not through the logical mind, to connect to it through the heart space, through the watery realms of your own intuition, and to just allow yourself to see what comes up. Do not try to control it, right? We live in this world where there's so much emphasis put on goals and accomplishment and visioning and all of this stuff, which is great. It's all a part of it. But sometimes we need to take a step back and allow ourselves to see from a different perspective in order to know and to find the right path that we are meant to be on. So in this little last journaling exercise, of course, you can also just reflect if you're not into writing it, but to consider this idea of what you may have forgotten when you were born and to to just allow those images, those visions to come up of things that may have been there under the surface, right? Pluto's helping us to reveal all that's been buried. And to just allow yourself to see what comes up for you and to just write about it, whatever it is. You can write about how you feel about it, what it is. You can be detailed in it, whatever the vision is. And try to stay in the heart space and try not to control it. Try to allow it to flow through you. We're going to listen to some music to help us set the tone for this. We're going to listen to the Heart Sutra by Wah. The vision. Kim shares in her book some suggestions that if you are struggling to find connection to the vision, that you could look at art that you loved when you were young, listen to old records and poems. And I might suggest, if it hasn't already been stated here, that paying attention to your dreams is another way of tapping into those sort of things that are lying under the surface, those aspects of you that are lying under the surface, and connecting to your intuition and not silencing it, that sometimes we're taught to do in a way by focusing more on the logical mind and just being open to it all. This is, to me, it's a good practice no matter what time of the year. Doesn't mean that you have to follow every lead in a sense, but to me, it's important to see what's there. But to this time of the year right now with this moon, according to the astrologers, is a good time to be unearthing those things. So I wanted to just close the moon ritual with some gratitude. So I invite you to bring your hands onto your heart center and to just really connect with that heart space. If there's one thing I hope that you can walk away with this from this with is a connection to yourself and to the heart, the home that is with you always. And so just acknowledging you showing up and participating in whatever way that looked for you and thanking yourself for that participation. Taking a nice deep inhale and exhale. And so that's officially the end of the moon ritual. I do have some more things that I would happily share with you. There was an article that I came across this morning. A dear friend shared it on social media. There is some positive aspects of social media. And the article is about choosing your word for the year, which I thought was interesting because a very good friend of mine used to make up mantras for the year. It's like, and we kind of made it more difficult on ourselves than we needed to because we would make them rhyme with the year itself. And so this year, my friend Joyce, shout out to Joyce, her suggestions were 2022. It's all about you, so that do the things in 2022 and do more for others in 2022. That's our working mantra for the year, but we're still polishing it. So I thought it was interesting. This article suggests to pick a word for the year and to work with it like a mantra or an affirmation. And I liked that idea, so I'm going to share that with you. This idea of choosing a word for the year comes from a website, mountainmodernlife.com, which I will link to in the show notes, as I have linked to the Forever Conscious Astrology Report and the playlist for the show and Corey Nakasue's show on Radio Kingston. So it'll all be there for you. And so this writer suggests that maybe resolutions aren't your thing and that it's more about embodying a feeling, a concept that you can hold throughout the year. And they believe that it helps to bring focus and clarity to what you want to create in your life. The cool thing that I liked about this article is that they give you a series of prompts to guide you through picking your word. And so I'm just going to share some of these with you. And they start out by saying this isn't about crossing another goal off your list. It's about creating a mantra to help guide your daily actions and become a better version of yourself. And I might even say not to correct them, but to become the most authentic version of yourself, right? Sometimes we just get lost and life is complicated. We're influenced by other things. So why not spend some time in reflecting and really connecting to your authentic self? They continue, it's about giving your soul what it needs. Here are a few easy steps to help guide you in choosing your 2022 word of the year. First one is reflecting. And the first thing you want to do is to reflect on this past year and ask yourself these questions. Jot down whatever pops into your head without self-editing. What could I use more of in my life? What could I use less of in my life? What characteristics would I like to have? By the end of the day, I feel blank. And how do I want to feel? And I'll just point out also that connection to vision, that when you are connected to your vision, it should feel energizing. And so if you feel a lack of energy, it's worth exploring what might need to be shifted in your life. I'm sure we have all experienced those times where we just feel an unlimited amount of energy. We're excited about life. We're in the flow. You know, sometimes we're working on a project and we don't stop to eat. Those are the types of things where you know you're connected to the thing that you're meant to be doing in that moment. And that's not a judgment if you don't feel that way. Life is hard. But to give yourself an opportunity to reflect, and sometimes it just takes a very small shift. It doesn't have to be massive. All right. So once you review your responses, you'll have a better sense of the direction you'd like to go or what you may feel you may be lacking in your life. Step two is to visualize. All right. We've had some practice with that. Visualize what the perfect day would feel like. The emphasis here is feel. Think about how you want your morning routine to feel, how you want to feel at work or throughout the day, and how you want to feel right before you go to bed. This is super important when it comes to visualizing. This is me speaking, not the article. Feeling will help you connect to it in a profound way that will help you actually execute it on it in a more meaningful way than maybe just visualizing it. So connecting to the feelings associated is very important. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead. Create a list is step three. Spend 10 minutes creating a list of the words that come to mind. No self-editing. And they kindly give a couple of words as inspiration. Words like compassion, thrive, connection, peace, manifest, resilient, courage, prosper, wellness, believe, surrender, serve, joy, yes, explore, generous, abundance. There's a lot here. Serenity, discipline, magical, creative, fearless, many, many, many that might be inspiring to you. Then the next step, step four, is to review and refine. Review your list and narrow down your favorites. They recommend circling or highlighting three of them. Chances are you'll see a theme going on between the words you wrote down. Do any of the words jump out at you, make you feel excited, nervous, scared, uncomfortable, or at ease? Sometimes the words that scare us most can mean we're on the right track because change isn't always easy. At the same time, I think finding your word can also bring peace and empowerment. Think about the words, try them on, and see what feels right. No need to overanalyze this process. Trust your gut. Gently review your list and let the words pick you. I like that. And then step five is ask yourself this very important question. Now that you narrowed down your list to three words, there's just one more question to ask. Are you interested or are you committed? They heard this question in a video where John Assaroff, who is that guy? I know him. I can't remember what he does, but I know that guy. Not personally, but I think I like his work. Talked about one of his mentors who at the time was asking him questions to determine whether or not he would take a chance and hire him. So tell me, are you interested in your word or are you committed? If you're merely interested, then chances are you'll make excuses as to why you're not putting forth the effort to actually make changes. But if you're committed to your word, you'll do whatever it takes to implement that word and bring more of it into your life. If necessary, allow yourself a day or two, even a week, to really think about this. All right. So there you have it. There is more to the article, but I'll let you read it if you want to. They just kind of go through their own experience. But, you know, the idea being that you can really center yourself in a certain state of being. And if you do make a commitment to it on a regular basis, if you can do it every day, you know, just as a momentary, you know, with your morning coffee or tea or before you go to sleep, right? If you say prayers, whatever it might be, if you can incorporate that as a reflection and a commitment to it, it will really embed itself within you. And you'll know if it's right. If you need to change your word, then no worries, change your word. But it does take some elements of commitment, as they're saying, to connect to it regularly. Otherwise, we can get lost in our busy, busy lives. And then another year goes by and we start all over again, which is fine also. So there you have it, some words of wisdom. The other thing I thought I'd just share was from this other article that talked about how to really effectuate behavior change for yourself. And the article suggests that it is to be easy on yourself, that having a strict schedule doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be successful in changing that habit. And I use habit change as just sort of a generic way of talking about any time we're committing in some way to ourselves. But the article suggests that if you can allow yourself some freedom and flexibility with it, that you're more likely to go back to it if you step away from it for a little while. So I'll link to that article too, if you would like to read that. And that is our show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, thanks to Shauna Falana for our show music, as always. And thank you to Ian for running the dials so beautifully today and navigating all the various pieces of today's show. What is up next week? Next week, I am excited to welcome Innocence Powell to the show. She's going to be talking about Abundance Farms, which is a beautiful project that they are involved with, spearheading and doing a fundraiser for right now. So Inno is somebody who I met through Raising Hope, who just has a beautiful story, an amazing person, very inspiring. So full moon blessings to everyone. Until next week, love yourself and uplift one another. Ciao.
It's now 1 o'clock. You're listening to AM 1490 FM 107.9 WKNY Kingston. We're live online, radiokingston.org. It's Monday. Teresa is with us with I Want What She Has. And Teresa, welcome. Good to have you here again.
It's good to be here, Warren. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm inside looking out. It's beautiful outside.
It is. I'm really kind of glad. I don't know. I mean, I live close enough to Kingston, but a little bit farther out. And we don't have any other precipitation. I was afraid the rain would take things away, as they were predicting. But it seems to be dry, and it's just pretty and white out.
It is. The roads are in really good shape right now. The crews came through and took care of that here in the city of Kingston. But there's some beautiful white snow outside. Our first, I guess, real big major storm of the year.
Yes. I'm glad that it wasn't as bad as they were predicting for this area. But I'm happy to have snow.
It was so...
I was asking my husband this morning, and I wonder how you feel about this, but it seems like the snow makes the world so quiet. Like there's a different level of quietness to the outside.
Yeah, there's something about just the sight of it. And I was going to mention, driving in this morning, it was so quiet and beautiful. The snow was falling. And yeah, it's just like a beautiful, quiet, almost humbling scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. It's like I didn't even have to look out the window. I could just feel it in bed this morning. It just felt like there was something different and softer about the world.
Yeah, well, for sure. So you have a minute? I have something really interesting here I think you'll enjoy. If you want
I'm ready
chat
for
just
it.
A minute. So a couple months ago, there was a virtual fitness and health retreat held virtually out on the West Coast. And out of that came certain principles that we need to know about having a healthy mind and body. And I found these pretty interesting. I thought you would too, and I'm sure you can comment on some of these.
I'm excited, yes.
So
let me hear this.
There are a few principles. The first is vital breathing, and I know that's really important to you. Vital breathing is the first principle in having a healthy mind and body.
I wonder what they mean about vital breathing.
Well, they're saying, they're on the topic of oxygen, of course. Oxygen mm-hmm. is picked up by the hemoglobin in the blood and distributed, you know, throughout our cells, mm-hmm. where it is then used to fuel our cells and release energy. So they say one of the best ways to help oxygenate. That's it. Yeah,
it's a tongue twister.
Yeah, the best way to
oxygenate.
Yeah, the best way to do that is to learn how to breathe correctly.
Well, and so that the question would be, what does that mean? I've been taught it to breathe deeply, to imagine the breath not only filling up the lungs, but to be filling up really like the whole torso, so that your breath is kind of deeper into the belly. And if you've ever taken singing lessons, they talk about that, really kind of projecting the breath from the navel. And I have found that to help me in breathing more deeply. But also interesting is that singing, when you are singing, it really kind of forces you to breathe more robustly. Mm-hmm. And so that's why singing can be such a cathartic, healthy thing for us to do. So
suppose
just thought I'd put that out there.
Suppose we don't sing well like me. Is that okay?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what they say is, though, to every day take 10 power breaths 3 times a day. Inhale for 8 seconds, hold for 32 seconds, and exhale for 16 seconds. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's interesting. Holding for 32 is a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, if anyone's listening, what I would recommend is to go at your limit, right? You'll know when you need to exhale. And if you do practice it every day, you'll notice that it gets deeper and longer. Mm. There's a breath that I used to practice called 1 minute breathing, which is where you inhale for 20 seconds. Sorry. Yeah. You hold the breath for 20 seconds and then you exhale for 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that is a very challenging breath to do. But if you just do it in a way that works for you, right, where you're pushing yourself a little bit, but you're not gasping for air. And if you practice it a little bit each day, literally, you could do it for 3 minutes. That's all. And it could be very profound in expanding your breath capacity.
So the second principle to come out of that retreat is simply water. Water is the largest single component in the body. Our brains are 76% water, our lungs 90%, our blood 84%. So every day, drink half of your body weight in ounces. And that seems like a lot to me.
I'm drinking water right now.
Very good.
I have read, I don't know, there's a lot of theories out there about how much water you actually need. Some people don't think it's as much as some of the more aggressive sort of studies say. But you can kind of tell in your body, right? Like if your bowel movements aren't normal or they're funny, and I don't need to go into all those details, mm-hmm. but that'll tell you that you don't have enough water, mm-hmm. especially in the wintertime. If your skin feels dry, mm-hmm. it can be because you're not getting enough water. And so you can look for those signals really to tell for yourself if you're getting enough water. And if you exercise, you need to get a little extra more.
Sure. The third principle, essential oils like omega-3 and omega-6.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Your body must consume these fats to survive, plain and simple.
Yeah.
The next is go green, which we hear about plenty.
Yeah. Are good vegetables, are spinach and kale.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think grapes, green grapes, count?
Yeah, I don't think so, but I love green grapes. Especially when they're nice and chilled. I love cold green grapes.
Yes.
Principle 5, aerobic energy. What do you think of that?
Aerobic energy. So that means like getting your heart rate up?
Yeah. And you know, the term aerobic, I didn't realize this. You know what the term aerobic actually means, translates to? The word aerobic?
Probably not.
With oxygen.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. And then principle 6, maximum nourishment. Consume.
What does that mean? Okay.
It means consume the foods that will serve your body and not the other way around. Nourishment is very important to maintaining a healthy mind and body.
Yeah. Last year I taught this workshop called Healing Your Relationship with Food. And in the process of developing the workshop, I really kind of settled into this idea that our bodies are these, for lack of a better word, but this is what I called it, a sacred temple. You know, it is the vessel through which we live and experience life. And so why wouldn't we want to treat it with utmost care and do everything good for it that we could? It's not a matter of appearance or looking a certain way. It really is just taking great care of your body because it is what helps us be here in our human selves. And so thinking about that when you're eating and you're consuming things, is it really nourishing this sacred temple that you're existing within?
I think a lot of folks need to take a lesson or two on, maintaining a healthy body and doing the right thing. We don't think about it often.
Yeah. It's really, to me, it's like an attitude shift. And if you can think about that when you wake up in the morning, really like honor yourself and realize what a gift you are and your body is part of that, it might change the way that you treat it.
And the final principle to come out of that fitness and health retreat was eliminate or reduce dairy products. We hear about that a lot. What do you feel about that?
As a girl from Wisconsin, it's really hard it's for me to give up my cheese. No. I think, again, it depends on your body. I have heard many people tell stories about the great improvements to their health once they've given up dairy products. I can't say for sure if that applies to every single person. I have been curious myself to try it. I actually don't eat that much dairy. I don't drink very much milk. I do have occasional cheese, but I would say if you are struggling with something physical health-wise, that it's worth exploring giving that up for a while and seeing if you notice a difference, especially like I've heard related to like phlegm and congestion, which this time of the year in our part of the world, you know, people are getting sick. So it might be worth it to give those kinds of foods a break.
And, you know, we hear so much about, speaking of dairy, though, everyone says how healthy Greek yogurt is, but then we're told to eliminate dairy a bit.
Yeah, it's hard to know what's right. Hmm. I mean, the best thing to do is just trust yourself and how your body's responding to it. I mean, that's why they have those processes and practices called elimination diets, where if you are struggling with something health-wise and it, you suspect it might be food-related, then you just kind of eliminate things one at a time to see if one of those things is what's aggravating you. Because it's very hard to tell. I mean, you might be able to go to a nutritionist and they might be able to help you figure that out with blood work. I'm not positive, but that is something to consider if you are struggling with health issues.
And it is so true that everyone's body reacts differently and only you know your body best.
Exactly. I mean, just even looking at how COVID affects people, it really affects everyone so differently. And so it's, we are all unique, and that's what makes the world special.
Indeed. So I've taken a big hunk of your show. I'm sorry, but I found this to be so interesting.
I like that.
So shall we begin? What do you have today going on, by the way?
Well, it is me, and because today there's a full moon tonight. Usually I do a online moon workshop, but I'm still not feeling 100%, and right around 7 p.m. I'm ready for bed. So I'm doing my moon ritual workshop during the show today. So it'll be a little dancing, a little reflecting, and a little journaling.
Oh, isn't it the wolf moon this month? Recently?
It is. Yeah, yep. Okay. Tonight around 7. I don't know the exact time.
Okay, perfect. Hopefully the clouds will clear and we'll see that wolf moon.
Yes.
All right, so let's begin. Teresa's next.